This flash briefing was made possible by a sponsorship from AveXis, a clinical stage gene therapy company. The following content was not developed by AveXis.
Today is Wednesday, March the 6th, 2019. I'm Michael Morale, Director of Multichannel Content for SMA News Today. Researchers at Stanford University School of Medicine found that a molecule called Activating Signal Cortical 1, ASC1, acts as a central hub for proteins involved in amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, ALS, and spinal muscular atrophy, suggesting that both disorders are more intimately tied to one another than previously thought. ASC1 is a transcriptional coactivator, a molecule that binds to transcription factors to facilitate gene transcription, that is, the process by which DNA is converted into RNA, the template for the production of a protein. The study, the neurodegenerative diseases ALS and SMA are linked at the molecular level via the ASC1 complex, was published in Nucleic Acids Research. ALS and SMA are neurodegenerative diseases that affect motor neurons, the nerve cells responsible for controlling voluntary muscles. Considerable effort is being made to understand the molecular mechanisms involved in motor neuron degeneration, and previous research work reported links between these diseases, shared clinical and neuropathological features, and both diseases being diagnosed within families, the study notes. Researchers stated the following, quote, "Our new observations regarding the ASC1 complex indicates that ALS and SMA are more extensively linked at the molecular level than previously thought. In addition, the ASC1 complex is the first factor identified that is affected in both diseases." End quote. In the case of ALS, more than 25 causative genes encoding for proteins that bind to DNA and RNA and participate in gene transcription, such as fusion sarcoma, known as FUS, and TARDNA binding protein, known as TARDBP, have been identified. Because this study focused on ALS, researchers used a genome editing tool called CRISPR-Cas9 to create cell lines that were not capable of producing four different RNA-DNA binding proteins that were involved in ALS. They were also involved in the following: FUS, EWS RNA binding protein 1, known as EWSR1, TATA box binding protein associated factor 15, known as TAF15, and Martin 3, known as MATR3. Results showed that, although each of these ALS causative proteins has a specific function, all of them are required to recruit ASC1 to the protein complex that's responsible for gene transcription. Interestingly, genetic mutations in ASC1 that block the formation of the transcription complex have been linked to severe forms of SMA. Researchers concluded their comments with the following statement, quote, "Our observations that such a large number of proteins involved in these motor neuron diseases is present in the transcription machinery suggest that pathways in which this machinery functions could underlie pathogenesis development of these diseases," end quote. Coming up next, perspectives from SMA News Today Community Editor Kevin Schaefer.
Are you interested in understanding gene therapy? ExploreGeneTherapy.com has helpful information about gene therapy, including its history and how it is being investigated for the treatment of genetic diseases. Visit www.exploregenetherapy.com.
From Embracing My Inner Alien, a column by Kevin Schaefer. March 5th, 2019. As a kid, there were two things I really couldn't stand: math and pulmonary function tests, or PFTs. I was too young and naive to have an angry fanboy mentality toward the Star Wars prequels. Math, however, didn't coincide with my interests or adolescent attention span, and by the time I was in middle school, it went from being my least favorite subject in school to my greatest enemy. PFTs, while being something I had to deal with much less frequently, were still a form of torture in my mind. PFTs have changed somewhat since the time I started doing them. The first test requires me to take deep breaths in and out through my mouth. The pulmonology assistant who does the tests will either hold my nose or put a pin on it to make sure I can't breathe through it. Sounds fun, right? Once the machine is on and there's a tube in my mouth, the assistant tells me to inhale and exhale large amounts of air. While it's pretty standard for any doctor to monitor a patient's breathing, the whole stethoscope and deep breath routine is kid stuff compared to PFTs. One of the tests that I used to have to do that they've since gotten rid of was the puppy dog breath test. This involved taking as many rapid breaths as I could for about 30 seconds, which I guess made me sound like a puppy anxiously waiting for a treat. A computer screen in front of me tracked my activity, and a horizontal line that moved up and down across the screen would indicate how fast and steady my breaths were. I hated that one in particular, and I felt exhausted every time I did it. It didn't help that the assistant I had when I was younger reminded me of the mean lady in Matilda. Okay, she wasn't that bad, but she wasn't pleasant either. I didn't need another reason to dread doing these stupid tests every few months. The assistants who do my PFTs now are incredibly nice and pleasant people, by the way. For a long time, the only thing that got me through PFTs and pulmonology appointments were my mom buying me lunch on the way home, and getting to either leave school early or have the day off. In college, I could schedule doctor's visits around my class schedule so that I wouldn't miss anything, but in grade school, I could at least miss a few classes for a weekday appointment. PFTs frustrated me as a kid for several reasons. I mentioned that they wiped my energy, but beyond that, I didn't understand the point in doing them. I knew my respiratory levels sucked back then, and PFTs just reinforced that notion for me. They were like tests I knew I couldn't pass, so why bother? Plus, I had to listen to the Matilda lady bark orders at me and tell me to try harder. Over time, however, I did get used to PFTs as just another component of my care routine. I was accustomed to the structure of these tests by the time I was a teenager, but beyond that, I was actually showing signs of improvement in my respiratory functions. Even before I started Spinraza, I was using devices like my Vest airway clearance system and cough assist machine to combat respiratory issues and improve my levels. Once I got past the notion that SMA made it impossible for me to have good respiratory function, I became more relaxed about the tests. Today, I still don't enjoy doing PFTs, but I no longer dread them. They're irritating and they wear me out, but I find comfort knowing that my respiratory levels are no longer abnormally low. It's taken a lot of discipline for me to use my BiPAP, Vest, and cough assist, and to do my PFTs regularly, but all of those tubes and machines have proven to be worth the time and effort. Plus, my mom still lets me stop for lunch on the way home for my pulmonologist appointments. Do you dread doing PFTs? Or do you have experiences with them? Join the discussion in the SMA News Today forums. I'm Kevin Schaefer, community editor for SMA News Today.
The information in our flash briefings and podcast are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to SMA News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. All of our podcast and flash briefings can be found on our website at www.smanewstoday.com. You can also find our podcast and flash briefings on SoundCloud, Spotify, and iTunes. And be sure to follow us on our Instagram and Facebook page as well. For SMA News Today, I'm Michael Morale, Multi-Channel Content Director.